Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush Monday. I'm Charles W. Chuck Bryant here, your co-host, along with Noel Brown, also co-host. Together, we make one host.
Hello, Chuck.
We morph together to make one gelatinous blob of a hairy human.
Yeah. Sort of like that movie, The Thing.
Yeah.
We are The Thing.
Exactly. Except we don't kill people.
No.
We
lift people up. We entertain them. We talk movies to them.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Noel, as is per usual, this is our second episode where, in fact, we have already caught up, so we can kind of get right down to business.
It's true.
As they say. And I got a little surprise for you, Noel.
Okay.
Because I managed at the last minute to get a guest in because we haven't done Pop Quiz Hot Shot in a while. And I've just invited this person. And as usual, we do a little surprise for you because you don't know who's coming.
I don't.
And I just sent the invite, so we can kill time for a second until they get the invite and pop into the room and are hopefully already recording. Otherwise, we're going to have to take this all again and fake it like you know.
Or we could just, drop. Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. You fake the my surprise.
Yeah, like that's my worst nightmare is if someone pops in the room and we have that organic moment where you don't know who it is. And then they say, oh, I'm not recording. But here they are, Noel. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Let me admit them into the room.
All right.
Oh, boy, the suspense is killing me.
It's killing me, Chuck. It's not the same for you as it is for me. I'm the one experiencing the suspense right now.
Okay, so why is this person not in?
Oh, hello.
Hey!
I'm here.
Hey!
Oh, man. I thought it was going to be somebody famous. Whoa.
Not that famous, no.
All You're right. Famous to Noel, me, you want to introduce our guest?
Oh, my God. It's one of my favorite human beings in the entire world, Alex Williams, who composed this theme. That's on a different show, but he did. And I say his name at the end of every episode of Ridiculous History because he composed that theme.
Okay. So let me clear this up, Noel, because you're already fucking confusing everybody.
Why?
I'm confused.
Alex, people know from the past Ed Wood episode.
Right.
Alex is one of our colleagues who, by the way, if you don't look like goddamn John Lennon right now, I don't know who you look like.
There's worse people to look like, I guess. I literally get that every day now. I've let my hair
get Well, that's because you look just like him. Yeah. You've got the long hair and the stash, the round glasses.
And the circle glasses. Yeah.
I would, dude, if I could look like that, I would always have that look.
You guys want to start a Beatles cover band?
Yes.
Alex, no more bands, bro. No more bands.
I look like no Beatle.
I'm giving Alex shit because he and I play in a little music band. That's what they call them when you're cool. With our other buddy and colleague and dear friend of the show and the network, Matt Frederick. And we do a couple other music side things. But Alex has been in like just music mode. He's just like starting bands left and right.
So he's cut off no more bands?
No, I'm kidding.
Noel does get mad joke. Every time I join another band. So I'm going to leave it at four for now.
Do me a favor, Alex. Just say this. We're more popular than Jesus Christ.
Wow. No. He got flagged for that when he said it. I'm not getting anywhere near that one, man.
So, listener, you might remember also, and we plugged this on the show quite a few times, and Alex talked about it on his Ed Wood episode, that you were the creator and doer of the great, great podcast Ephemeral, which has just launched season two. And we're having you on to talk about that a little bit, and especially a very special episode that might really appeal to the movie crushers, right?
Yeah. I mean, somebody called me out on Facebook and said maybe there would be some synergy between these two episodes. But we just put out an episode about Alice Guy Blaché's her married name, who is one of the first filmmakers ever and the first female filmmaker and the only female filmmaker for like the first 17 years of cinema. And it's a new history of early cinema. It's a biography of her whole life. It's got a secret love story in it that's incredible. I don't want to spoil anything.
Don't. I listened to the first like 15 minutes today when you sent it to me because I had to get down here and do this. But I can't wait to finish it later today. It was already, and these Ephemeral is such a good show. It's everything I like about podcasts. It's sort of a, dare I say, sort of maybe a little more NPR style show than we usually do at the network. Full of twists and turns and great stories. It's part 99% invisible in a way. It's human related, human stories. It's really, really great.
Thanks, man.
That's excellent. It's also beautifully sound designed. And like I said, Alex is a super talented musician. And you got a cool little team of folks working with you now, including your brother, who is the new producer for Ridiculous History, of which you composed the theme.
Thanks, man. My flesh and blood brother, Max Williams, and then Trevor Young, who's done things like Monster DC Sniper and all kinds of stuff.
Trevor was on the show.
Yeah, he's on mic now. Max will be on mic eventually. And they're helping me produce it, which is really nice because I did it all by myself for a little while with some help from my friends, Beatles Reference.
Right. With the help from George and Paul and Ringo. But
I meant to mention this to you, completely unrelated to you being here in the second, but I was looking through Apple Podcasts and just looking at the different little collections they have, and they have a trending section, and Ephemeral was in the trending section.
Hey, look at that. All right.
You're trending, bro.
I'll take a trend. Sure. Thank you.
I can't believe how much you look like John Lennon. This is really striking. What an amazing thing to be able to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go over the organ and play Imagine or something.
Yes.
I said that once on a company call and I definitely got called out for it. I shouldn't be offering things like this if I'm not rehearsed.
Well, you should just drop that in every now and then, just very subtly. You could be like, "Well, guys, imagine I don't know, there's no heaven," and just see what people say.
That's good.
No possessions
and no religion too.
The only person I can look like is Kevin Smith, and it's not fun.
And the only person I look like is Chuck Bryant looking like Kevin Smith.
That's not fun either. You won't find me in a hockey jersey anytime soon.
That's fair. He looks weird now that he lost all that weight. And I mean, I'm happy for him, but it's hard for me. It looks like he's still wearing the same size clothes. He's just kind of withered underneath them a little bit. You know?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's very inspiring with his taking his health under control. And so
I completely agree.
Yeah. We just covered Mallrats on this very show with Miles Gray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet that was fun. I got to listen to that one.
Miles is great, man. He's so much fun. And I didn't realize there was so much crossover. There were a lot of movie crushers who are Daily Zeitgeist fans. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty cool. I'm going to have Jack on soon. I've been reserved Pulp Fiction for Jack, so he's going to come on.
Wow. Oh, you've never done Pulp Fiction?
Nope.
That's insane.
That's a good one to reserve for somebody.
Yeah.
I got to say, really quickly, because Chuck and I talked about this, I'm really excited because I don't really guest on a ton of podcasts, but there's one that I listen to called Pod Yourself a Gun. That's a Sopranos podcast.
Oh, that's right. No, let everyone know.
Well, Jack and Anna Hosnaye have been guests on it, and I found the show completely organically because I was just mid Sopranos rewatch that I do every year or so, and I was like, I need some supplementary Sopranos content. So I Googled, or looked in Apple Podcasts, and that came up, and it's great. It's these dudes, Matt Lieb and Vince Mancini, and they're these comedians from LA, and clearly in the same circles as Anna and Jack and Miles, because they've both been guests on it a couple times. And so I literally just reached out to Anna and said, "Hey, could you maybe like connect me with these guys? I want to, put my hat in the ring to be a guest." And she did. And they immediately were all about it. And I'm going to be episode one of season 5, which is divorced dad Tony season. When and also the season where his cousin Tony Blundetto, played by Steve Buscemi, comes into the picture. So I get to be episode one of one of my favorite seasons. So I'm really excited. I'm recording in a week, but I don't know when it's going to come out. But I'll let you know when I find out.
That's amazing. You got to do that. You got to reach out in life.
Sometimes you got to do it.
You know, just imagine it's easy if you try.
I know. I do that, and it usually is.
All right, so Alex, you do not know anything about this game that we play here.
I have no idea.
On the show.
You sent me an email this morning. It was like, "Hey, you want to come on Movie Crush and play a quiz or something?"
Yeah, and you said when? I said, "How about like an hour?"
Yeah,
he said, "Sure." Because what am I doing aside from just composing beautiful Beatles tunes all day?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Alex. Here's how it goes. It's called Pop Quiz Hot Shot. There are 10 questions and 3 answers per, for a total of 30 points. Partial credit is allowed. So if you get It's basically like, name 3 movies that feature blank.
Oh, God.
You know, Jack Nicholson. And then in 10 seconds, you have to name three Jack Nicholson films.
It's timed.
Okay. It's timed. That's the whole rub here, my friend. Should you had all day to sit around and think about this. It wouldn't be any fun. So it will trip up even the best player, like the Caseys of the world get very confused.
That makes
and
me feel better off the bat.
Yeah. But you get partial credit. So if you get like one or two, you still get those points for a total of 30.
I would say the biggest tip that I could give you is don't overreach. Don't try to go for the most obscure pick. Just go for like the most obvious. Like whatever comes to your mind. No, just don't like be struggling.
I'm gonna literally say anything I can think of.
Okay.
Boom. Yeah, I think that's the ticket, baby. That's the ticket.
And Noel is our scorekeeper. Noel, can you, I mean, good Lord, we always go through it with your,
I mean, let me make a spreadsheet real quick. Hang on.
All right, God, here we go.
So I get, okay, so I do
1 point per answer, Noel.
1 point per answer.
30 points total for the game.
30 points total. So there's 30 questions.
I will keep.
You too good for just like hash marks, Noel? Like a regular old, you know, make four across the two for five.
We're doing a bit. This is a bit where I'm bad at keeping score.
Also, the other bit we do is we have to pick out the ending timer sound. So what should we go with, Noel? How about?
I like the klaxon, you know? The
what is that called?
It's not called klaxon? Alarm?
Klaxon? Alarm? I don't know.
I don't have klaxon.
Red alert. The Enterprise alert, is going down.
All right. You're just making stuff up now, John Lennon, so be quiet.
That one's too cheerful. That was pretty good. That's pretty Blade Runner-y. I like
that. Right. We'll do that.
Blade Runner.
It's called Cosmic, everybody.
Cosmic.
Boom.
All right. Here we go, Alex. Question one. Clear your mind.
Okay.
In 10 seconds, name three movies with the word death in the title, starting now.
Death Inc. That's not one. Death Becomes Her. Is that one? Murder by Death. Dead Man. That doesn't say death. A Band Called Death is a documentary.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
All right. I'm going to give that to you because you started saying it as the timer sounded. Well, so
no, Death Inc. is a movie.
Okay. You got four then, but we can only give you three.
Okay. There, I'll take it.
So now you know how the game works. Good job, by the way.
Death is one of my hot topics. So.
Well, and the band called Death is supposed to be fucking
I haven't
incredible.
Seen it yet, but
it's awesome. It's, you guys need to see it.
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's very good. All right. Question two. Pop Quiz Hotshot with our guest Alex Williams, creator of Ephemeral and Instant Karma.
Thank you.
Name three movies starring or even featuring Matt Damon, starting now.
Good Will Hunting. Oh God, he's in like a million movies. There's one called Jerry that's got him in it. That's a Gus Van Sant film. He's in so many movies. I'm blanking.
Get to
okay. Wait. Two out of three. Oh, not bad.
That was 10 seconds.
That was 10 seconds.
10 seconds is a really short amount of time.
It is. Sure it also goes by faster when you say things like, "Yeah, it's a movie by Gus Van Sant that was fairly well reviewed in the theaters."
I just thought Jerry would be confusing if I just said Jerry.
No, you don't need to say
save
anything
that.
Else.
Save the commentary for after.
This is not called Pop Quiz Hotshot and Context. No context needed. Two out of three, though. That's
name
good.
One more Matt Damon movie for me, though. I feel like a fool that I didn't know because he's
the
like
talented
a
Mr.
Things.
Ripley.
Yeah, talented Mr. Ripley.
The Bourne Identity, is that him?
Yeah, that's
any
like
of the
Bourne movies.
It could have been Bourne Supremacy.
Golly, I should have said that. All right.
That's all right. Two out of three is good, man. If you hang in there, you're doing well.
Or as Meatloaf would say, it ain't bad.
Get out.
Two out of three. All right.
Don't come at John Lennon with Meatloaf.
Meatloaf is cool.
Meatloaf is cool. I'm down with Meatloaf.
I like Meatloaf.
I mean, he did some good work in his day, right?
It's true. And what was the thing he wouldn't do for love?
Yeah.
He'd do anything, but not the one thing. But he never says what the one thing is.
I think it's probably anal.
That's what everyone says.
Things are going downhill fast, guys.
Not at all.
I just think Meatloaf would have a problem with that personally. But
I don't think so either.
But I don't
know. Actually, I think I've told this story, and Noel knows this a little bit. When I lived in L.A., Alex, I was friends with a guy who was dating Meatloaf's wife's assistant. And so I hung at Meat's house a couple of times when he was there.
I wanted to say, I'm glad you said that. Like people call him Meat.
They call him Meat.
That's Meat.
What was his house like? Was it weird?
You know, it was very traditional, sort of colonial.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, but I mean, it was a nice house and everything, but it wasn't like some palatial estate. And the end of that story, which I always tell, is he backed up his backyard to Steven Seagal's backyard. And if you stood up on the thing, you could see into it. And Steven Seagal had all these little Asian, what are they called? Not a
pergola,
but a
pagoda.
Sure.
That's what Noel said.
Little pagodas all over the property.
Steven like Seagal meditation. Is also, he's also famous for like wearing kimonos with nothing on underneath and like disrobing in front of women.
You didn't see that in the backyard?
I didn't see that in the backyard. Okay. All right. Number three, Alex. Here we're going. You're doing great. Pop quiz hot shot. In 10 seconds, name three movies directed by a woman, starting now.
I'm going to say Alice Guy Blaché films, Sticky Woman, Falling Leaves, and The Consequences of Feminism. They're all short, silent films from like the first 10 years of the 1900s, but that counts, right?
We will
Dude,
accept that.
Dude, not only does that count, I think you did her justice.
No shit.
And that was clearly loaded for you to talk a little bit more about your show.
That's what I'm here for, right?
No, that was fantastic. Name one other movie directed by a woman that's not her.
One other movie directed by a woman that's not
no
her.
Timer involved.
You know what I just saw that was really good? I don't remember the name of the woman off the top of my head. Honey Boy, the movie Shia LaBeouf wrote about his childhood.
I've heard that's great.
It's good movie.
It's tough, man. But I watched some interviews with her.
Her name is Alma Harrell, H-A-R with a little and then E-L. So I'm probably not pronouncing that right. But yes, she is from Tel Aviv, Israel.
Yeah.
What else has she done?
She did I think some kind of hybrid documentary sort of things before, and they had collabed. I think maybe he had produced a couple of projects with her. I don't know that much about it yet, but Honey Boy really left an impression on me. I want to see more of her work.
Yeah, she hasn't done a ton of like big mainstream things, but
she's done a lot of music videos, I think. She's one of these music video people.
Oh yeah, she did music videos for Beirut, like
Beirut, Sigur Rós,
Shearwater,
Paul Smith. I don't know who Paul Smith is.
All right, but not for the Beatles. That's all right.
Just working up to
you
it.
You should hire her next time.
Okay.
Okay, you're doing great. How many did you get there, Noel? He got all three, right? Sure.
He got all three.
All right. In 10 seconds, pop quiz hotshot with guest Alex Williams of Ephemeral. Name three directorial debuts, first films from directors. Starting now.
God. How about Herc Harvey's Carnival of Souls? It's the only one I could think of.
All right. That's all right.
You know for a fact that is his first?
This is his only one. I know about a billion.
One out of
those,
three. One out of three. You got on the board. What
we,
you don't want to do
may
is
or may not be doing an ephemeral episode on that, too. Spoiler alert.
This is from 1962.
Yeah, it's a classic, like kind of B maybe drive-in horror movie. The Herc is a guy that he worked for the Centron Corporation making like educational industrial films for like 30, 40, 50 years. And he made one horror film.
Is the Centron Corporation a real thing? That's not
know,
from
sounds,
like a movie?
It sounds like a fucking...
Centron was like a Kansas-based, like a Coronet Films that made like Social Guidance and... Or Encyclopedia Britannica films, social guidance, classroom education films, driving safety films, stuff like that. And Centron was kind of the educational film company with a heart, as one of our interviews
says. Ben Bolin is a big fan of Carnival of Souls. He talks of it often.
I've heard it. And folks, this banter that you're getting from Alex is what you get from Ephemeral, because Alex knows a lot about these stories, and that's what Ephemeral is about, are these stories lost to time, little known stories from real human beings, and it's good stuff. I love it.
Thanks, man.
Oh, my goodness. There's one of the, if you look at his IMDb, a lot of these educational films are listed, and one of them is called To Touch a Child.
You gotta be careful with IMDb on folks like that, because with silent films and educational films and all these kind of fringe film, you know, filmmaking genres, there's not a whole lot of accreditation, especially for earlier stuff.
No, this one says uncredited, like a lot of these shorts.
Yeah, but IMDb's really unreliable for those folks. So he might have done that one, he might not have. His most famous one is probably Shake Hands with Danger, which has got a great song in it. It's got a great riff tracks of it. Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys.
Those guys are great. I love it. All right.
Cautionary training film for those who operate and repair heavy equipment.
He was sort of famous for accident films, and you definitely see that in Carnival of Souls.
Blood spills red on the highway.
Horrible
that kind of
accidents.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Driver's Ed movies that scare the shit out of young drivers. All right. You're doing great so far, buddy. Number five, name three movies featuring any kind of violent on-screen death, starting now.
On-screen death. Like, does Pulp Fiction have a death in it?
Yes.
A Carnival of Souls does. No, it's not that violent. Okay. Violent on-screen death.
All right, Alex, I got to chide you a little bit, because
I need to just say things.
That one was so easy.
I know. I don't know. I'm blanking now.
Name any war movie. Name any movie war featuring movies. A murderer. Any horror movie.
Golly, I've been watching The Wire, man. So many violent on-screen deaths of that. Constant. Constant.
All right.
A lot of dice rolling in that show, too.
I think that was one out of three. Is that right? Or do we...
you can give me one.
Does Carnival Souls...
I'll take one. No, I can't double up on Carnival. That was a really cheap shot.
Okay. All right. I got to say, I think you're letting the timer affect you here if you're blanking on... violent on screen.
Let me drink more. Let me drink more coffee.
Okay. You're doing fine. All right. Number seven. Pop Quiz Hot Shot with Alex Williams of Ephemeral. Name three movies featuring any non-violent on-screen death. Someone has to die, starting now.
Any violent non-on-screen death.
Non-violent.
What about The Big Lebowski? What happens to Steve Buscemi in The Big Lebowski?
Okay, that counts.
Is it on screen,
heart
though?
Heart attack. Heart attack.
Oh, he has a heart attack. All right.
Yeah, you see him clutch his chest, and then he falls.
Chuck, I'm going to settle for one that quality answer in each of these rounds, maybe.
And then contextual follow-ups. All right, that counts. One out of three. With three more to go here.
Oh, my gosh.
Three more to go.
Question number eight, Alex.
This is a marathon. Okay.
Pop Quiz Hot Shot. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to leave?
No.
You have brilliant songs to
like,
compose?
I love a show like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And I'm always like, I would get all the answers. Or like right. Jeopardy. But then like I feel like under the pressure, I'm just like,
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, Alex.
All right. Number eight. Pop Quiz Hot Shot. In 10 seconds. Name three movies with any kind of plot twist. Starting now.
Like all those Ocean's films, all the Ocean's 11 films.
Okay, I'll count that.
There's three of those.
Yeah, the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13.
Jesus Christ. I got to count it.
Thanks, Noah.
I think you should get it.
I think it's integral to the heist movie to have a twist,
fine,
right?
Sure.
There's a great Rick and Morty episode where they talk about how terrible a plot device that is once you take it to like the nth degree, where it's like there's always someone in on the plot at a higher level.
Right.
Yeah.
It's only so much you can do. All right.
The center cannot hold.
That counts. True. A bit of a hack, but I'll take it. All right. Two more. Alex Williams, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. In 10 seconds, name three movies featuring male nudity, can be butt or pee-pee, starting now.
A Clockwork Orange. God, there's so many more. That's the only one that came to mind.
All right. I got to say, you started strong.
I'm getting
we would have accepted Saving Sarah Marshall.
Okay.
We would have accepted
Saving
Bad
Ryan's
Lieutenant.
Privates.
What'd you say, Noel?
Saving Ryan's Private.
I was looking at pictures of John Lennon and Yoko Ono naked together this morning, for what it's worth.
Surely those appear in some documentary.
Yeah, I mean, I think the documentary Imagine, you could probably... You were in that. You showed your butt and your pee-pee.
Yeah, in several photos, one of the back and one of the front.
All right. Noel, what's the score here going into the last one?
We got 3-2-3-1-2-1-3-1. What's that add up to? 3-5-6-7-9-10-11-12-13-14-15. 15.
You've only done this like one other time, right? Am I doing better than that person did?
No, we've done this quite a few times.
Oh, okay.
You're doing quite poorly.
Yeah, you're fine. I mean, I tell you, if you get all three here at the end, that'll be 18.
I'm going to try real hard to just go for this one.
You're a very mellow guy, though. This isn't, timed games aren't for you. I can say safely, I think. All right. In 10 seconds for the final question, Pop Quiz Hot Shot, Alex Williams of Ephemeral. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
Real human stories about things lost to time. Name three movies filmed in black and white after the color era had begun. starting now.
Oh, sorry. Ed Wood, same tango. Mala Noche.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
That's like
is
a
Sven
Sant film. Yeah, and then Satan Tango's a Bela Tarr film, and Ed Wood's obviously a Tim Burton film.
Look at that.
Now that's so, what I got you. I could list Eraser, Eraserhead or like Elephant Man.
Hey, this is very impressive, but I can't give you extra points.
I could do black and white films. What did you say after what date?
The color era.
After the color era. Yeah.
Sure. So like Wizard of Oz is kind of like the perfect split of both of those because it was like on the
cusp
of
the color. Or like Stalker, Tarkovsky's Stalker. That's when it changes color and sepia and black and white.
Hey guys, this isn't black and white talk with Noel and Alex.
God, can we do that though? I could do that one all day. That's now you finally found my Matt Damon movies. Like, but black and white cinema of the modern era.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. I think you ended up with 18 out of 30. There have been better and there have been worse.
Okay. I didn't know there's going to be so much judgment involved in this game, but.
Oh, we got to judge. The harsh hammer of the movie crush audience has to come up on your sweet mustachioed face.
I'm going
to
be getting constant emails chiding me for not knowing more male nudity films.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a thing. All right, Alex, I tell you what, you have your option here. You can either exit if you need to get on with your day, or you can stick around for our final segment. It's up to you.
I'm here, man. What's the final segment like?
All right, let's do it. The final segment today is we're going to we go over to the Movie Crushers page and ask them questions, or to the Movie Crush page, rather. And today I posed a question, Alex and Noel, that I've never even done before. Very simply, if you were on Movie Crush, what would be your pick? What's your all-time favorite movie? And I asked the Crushers that. So let's go ahead, and I think we got a lot of people sort of auditioning, because at some point I'd like to have a listener on as a guest. Mm-hmm. We just got to make sure they can record themselves and they don't freeze under pressure.
Jeez, so icy in here.
So icy. Let me see here. Let me filter this by all comments. What does most relevant even mean?
I don't know. I don't know, I guess the Facebook algorithm.
Why is it up to Facebook? Not relevant.
It picks out keywords based. I don't have no idea. It really is a mystery to me.
I think most relevant might mean like if I'm Facebook friends personally with someone, it might kick them up on the list or something. Or if I've replied to someone, who knows? Who cares? Facebook's stupid. The only reason I do it is because of this show, which is great. Nicest little corner of the internet. So we're going to go with Don Morris, the movie Away We Go, underrated gem that I'd love to share with everyone. That was a good movie. Did you guys see that?
I never saw Away We Go.
Had, I think, Maya Rudolph and John Krasinski, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah?
What a married couple. I think it was, who's the filmmaker who did Revolutionary Road?
Wasn't that
Sam Mendes?
Sam Mendes, yeah, exactly.
I think Away We Go is Sam Mendes, right?
Yeah, and yeah, you're right, Krasinski and Maya Rudolph. Gosh.
Yeah, Sam Mendes. Very underrated movie written by Dave Eggers and Navendala Vida.
Dave Eggers is great. I like his fiction.
Let me see here. Austin Handler, one of our old pals, says the movie About Time has such heart and so well constructed on all levels. One of the few films I consider to be a perfect movie. You hear my little clicky hands. Either. I don't even know what movie
How
it
often
is.
Do you watch movies, Chuck? Like, how often do you see a new movie?
I mean, we do a lot of TV these days, obviously, because there's so much good stuff going on. But I try to squeeze in movies when I can. There haven't been a ton of great new movies over the past year, obviously. But I'm a movie guy. What about you?
Can I tell you what I just saw in the theatrical?
Sure.
I saw Logan's Run.
Oh.
You ever seen that one?
Sure. Where'd they play that?
At the Plaza here in Atlanta. That's a movie with some nudity in it.
Male nudity?
Is there a male butt in it? There might be a boy butt in it. It's mostly female nudity. It's a weird one. It's a pretty weird film.
Yeah. A good one though.
It's the one with like the gardening kind of like spaceship, right?
It's not a spaceship. It's a kind of Planet of the Apes spoiler.
It's like a biodome.
Planet of the Apes
sort
of thing where it's like, it's the world, but we let it go to shit. And there's like a sort of bubble where everyone lives, but you have to die when you're 30 in there. And then they're like, what if we don't? And they leave. And
that's your movie.
Yeah.
What if we don't die?
Yeah, basically.
That's what I would have said.
Basically.
All right. Kristen Glenn Kister says, I usually say Excalibur. But you did mention Silverado the other day, and it's one of my favorite movies, so now I'm torn. Yeah, both of those are great. Excalibur. That was such a great movie for a kid my age.
Sword in the Stone? Is it a different movie?
Mm-hmm.
Different movie, but same, you know, it's about that story.
Isn't it John Borman directed it? And it's very violent. It's got a lot of pretty raunchy stuff. And I remember seeing it when I was too young.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you think about an Excalibur movie, and you think of that as almost as like a kid's story. But then when you watch that treatment of it, and my parents just didn't know how risque it was. So I kind of let that one slide under the radar. But yeah, it's intense. It's got some head chopping and some slashing. And
yeah, on-screen and death. On-screen death. Damn.
Yeah, and it came out in the 80s when we all saw it too young, because parents were like, oh, sure, King Arthur, go see it. They didn't know there was all that stuff in it.
Yep.
It was great. Margarita Saramago, one of our old pals, says Parasite. Great movie.
Love it.
Katie Walker says, my real favorite movie is the original Parent Trap with Haley Mills or the new live-action Cinderella with Lily James. But if I were a movie crush, I'd go with Baby Driver. Great movie. Did you see that one, Alex?
I saw one of the films that you just listed. I didn't see Baby Driver.
Oh, man, you'd like that one. That's a good one.
Speaking of that director, Edgar Wright,
he's got a new one.
Did What We Do in the Shadows. He does have a new one coming out. It is about the band Sparks, who I adore so much. They're like,
oh, that movie.
Yeah, they're a band that like a lot of people don't really know. They never really had a hit, quote unquote. They had a couple under the radar hits, but they started off very much like contemporaries with Queen, very glam, very kind of like prog glam, and then they went totally synthwave, and they've been making records all the whole time, and it's their brothers, and they're just excellent. So I'm excited about that film.
He also, they just dropped the trailer for his narrative feature film, Last Night in Soho, which looks really interesting.
Cool.
Sort of a kooky, genre-bending horror film, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, nice. Love it. Love him. Baby Driver was great. And I watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World last night. That is my daughter's absolute favorite movie. And it is just pure fun. Have you seen that, Chuck?
Which one?
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, sure. We covered that on this very show.
Your daughter would love that. It's about age appropriate. There's a little bit of smooching.
I think
but,
a little more. I mean, it's just not even inappropriate, but just maybe a little over her head. So.
How old is your kid now, Chuck?
She'll be 6 in July, aww. So she's getting on up there. Bennett Duckworth says, I'd pick Joe versus the Volcano, one of my favorite films. It is one of my favorite films, too. So, Bennett, I don't know. Maybe I should have you on the show.
I have never seen that.
Who's the lead in that, Chuck? Is it?
Tom Hanks?
Okay. I'm familiar with it, but I haven't. Is it a rom-com?
It is a very quirky, weird sort of romantic comedy, but in a very strange way. It's a very offbeat, and from John Patrick Shanley, a wonderful playwright and filmmaker. But it's good. I really like it a lot. Very strange movie with a big cult following now. Louis Silva says Rocky.
I love all the Rocky movies.
I like a lot of them, but that first one, man. So good.
Bro, I like the fourth one the most, maybe, where Rocky...
Which one is that?
Where Rocky defeats communism.
Is that Drago? Yeah.
Yeah. But I love... They would run them on TV, like, back to back to back on, like, I don't know, the 4th of July or whatever. They'd do a marathon all day of Rocky, and my brother and I would watch all of them just start back over when it looped.
I was a big Rocky 3 guy. That movie came out. Yeah, the right time. Clever Lang and Hulk Hogan was in it as Thunderlips.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thunderlips in the flesh, baby. That was his big that was his big line. Let me see here. Let's go with Amanda Kula says Hot Fuzz. Let's just tick through a bunch of these because I don't have much time and I want to get through a lot of these. Matt Dent says 3 o'clock High, one of the most underrated comedies of the 80s. Also a cult favorite. Did you guys see that one? 3 o'clock High?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Good movie. Very strange. Josh Toko says Explorers, movie he saw repeatedly as a kid. You know, I think the movie crushers are a little more in my wheelhouse age-wise than you youngins. How old are you now, Alex?
I mostly watch films from
how old are you?
The early, I watch a lot of silent films now. I watch a lot of early sound films. I'm 31.
Okay. Jesus, 31. What a great age.
But I'm just saying my tastes are kind of idiosyncratic.
Yeah.
And
No.
And like reinforcing that by having a podcast that like encourages me to like go back in time more, like just makes me more and more out of sync with the everyday world.
That's right. The podcast is called Ephemeral, everyone.
Thank you.
Old stuff. It's so good.
It's about old stuff, basically.
We'll go with the Danger Oven, Gail Kuntz, one of my favorite crushers. Since you already said did Jaws, I'd go with The Exorcist. Ooh, Kuntz, you're speaking my language there. Joe Kimber says Shawshank Redemption. I haven't even done that show yet. I'm surprised, or that movie. I'm surprised no one's picked that.
Get busy living or get busy crushing.
Oh, wow. Maybe that should be our new thing. I like that.
If there was like a movie poster for Movie Crush, that could be the tagline. I could see that.
Get busy living or get busy crushing. I love it. Let me go with my friend in real life, Sarah Murphy Robertson, says The Goodbye Girl. You guys should see it if you haven't. Goodbye Girl is a great movie, Sarah. So maybe I'll even have Sarah on because I know her and she's wonderful.
What's The Goodbye Girl? I made a bad joke when we were talking about Gone Girl.
Goodbye Girl is Richard Dreyfuss. Sort of a romantic comedy, but a little more adult and not adult film. Like it, you know, doesn't feature, you know, hardcore sex or anything.
Full dong.
But it's not like a teenage rom-com. It's a little more adult rom-com. Back when they made those
movies. Richard Dreyfuss.
And let's finish up with our old friend Kevin Herbon says, "Oh, brother, where art thou?" I have a thing for escaped convict movies. Me too. I love a good prison break. And Oh Brother is a very, very fun film. But
still
we got
violent on-screen death in that one.
Yeah, sure.
I remember the part where John Goodman whacks him with a rock while they're having lunch in the park.
Yeah, and he smashes that frog in that movie, doesn't he?
I call that a violent on-screen death.
Sure, it doesn't have to be human.
Classified.
Good point. And I think they kill cows too when they pick up the gangster. He just like shoots cows on the side of the road.
You're right.
Coen brothers are always fucking with animals. That's why Emily doesn't like their movies. So we got a lot of comments here from crushers who are talking about their favorite film. Wish we could have gotten through more, but I'll leave this one up there for everyone to go check it out. And Alex, thanks for coming in here at the last second, playing our little game.
Thanks for inviting me. I hope I didn't disappoint you too much with my 18-point win.
18-point win.
You know, we don't really have a threshold for winning or losing that game, do we, Chuck?
No, I think everyone's a winner, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Alex is definitely a winner.
Thanks.
Always a winner. So everyone, check out Ephemeral. Check out especially the episode. What's the one on Alex Gee? What's that one called?
Alex Gee. Yeah, Alex Gee.
I think it said Alex Gee by accident because I'm staring at your face.
That's okay.
In fact, I should have said John Lennon Gee.
You figure, type in Alex Gee or type in Ephemeral. You'll find it. It's easy to find.
Easy to find, and you're in season two now. And I'm glad you have some help because it's a show that's heavily produced and researched and takes a lot of work. So I'm very glad to see it continuing on. Wonderful, wonderful show for our network.
Thanks, man.
It's all good, right. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And thank you, Noel.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown. Edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce Market, Atlanta, Georgia for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.